everybody. Welcome back to this. I'm your host, Shauna Griffiths. And today's Real Talk is with a real leader who I am just so glad to have met recently. We were just talking about this, is like how everything she is doing so much aligns with what we focus on at SLG Impact, which is evolving brands and people, making an impact. So I'm really, really pleased and honored to introduce you all to Paula Beadle. She is founder and CEO of Caravelle Marketing, which is really focusing on sponsorship and creating all sorts of, again, positive impact on brands and people. So welcome, Paula. Thanks so much for making time for us today.
Oh, Shauna, thanks so much for the invitation. I am really pleased to be talking with you.
Yeah. So folks, I'll give you a little bit of context. So I met Paula through LinkedIn, and it's funny because I think people a lot of times think LinkedIn, you're just going to get spammed with offers and salespeople and everything, but I've actually made some incredible connections. And Paula has a staff member who's her senior marketing and event manager, Alexandra Reichen, who reached out to me one day and was telling me about Paula. And I was just drawn to all that you're doing. So shout out to you, Alexandra. Thank you so much for your proactive outreach. You did a wonderful job teeing Paula up for me. And so when we were talking, we had an introductory call, and Paula and I really aligned on a lot of things. As I mentioned earlier, this sense of impact and wanting to help create that future look of things in a more evolved way, as women in sports and events, as women who've been in sales, and also some of the people and organizations that we've been involved with. And one is WISE, Women in Sports and Events, who was founded by a woman named Sue Roden, who is super lovely. Hi, Sue, hope you'll hear this. And Kathy Francis is now leading it. Courtney Carter's a part of it. So, you know, just a lot of mutual connections that really helped, I think, us just kind of align and feel really comfortable with each other. So without further of my babble about you, Paula, I would love for you to introduce yourself to the audience and talk a bit about your evolution to the seat that you and the reality that you've created for yourself today.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that opportunity. I hope that what I share today inspires some of your listeners. I really do love the alignment that you and I have to evolving brands and evolving people. And I know during this time, as I'm trying to simplify everything about my life and my business, you hit it right on the head. That really is what we do, isn't it? It's not all that complicated in terms of how we communicate, what our purpose and mission is. And that's definitely it. So thank you for giving me those words and that brief statement. I've always had an entrepreneurial spirit. And when I found myself at the center of the financial meltdown crisis in 2008, where I worked for the largest bank to fail in history, I decided to do some consulting work. And much of that was with my boss, who is a friend and a mentor to me, Jane Zaletsky. And we worked, our work just wasn't finished, right? And we were definitely better together. So we did a bunch of really cool projects for about 4 or 5 years. And then I launched Caravelle in 2013. And we, you know, at the time when I left the bank, I was feeling burnt out. Yeah. I mean, I was tired. And I'd been in those big corporate environments for, you know, many years, and was at a point in my career where I just wanted to be doing my best work every day. I didn't want to be a duck on water anymore. And I wanted to be helping people and companies thrive. And so that was really why I started Caravelle, is I just wanted to be doing my best work every day and impactful, right? Meaningful work. Yeah. So that's what we do. Caravelle, we're all about sponsorship marketing. We're all about bringing people together, rights holders and brands. We want to help them navigate sponsorship, provide solutions, provide ideas, inspire new thinking, and really accelerate performance. I want to help everyone be their best selves every day.
I remember that from our conversation, you talking about really thriving and wanting to help facilitate high performance environments and help people, you know, really perform at their best. And I just, you know, I really connect with that. I really appreciate that. And tell us a bit more about what does that mean to you?
A high performance environment to me means that you're working on the most important things, right? That you are judged on your on the results of your work, not on the amount of time that you spend in the office.
Yeah.
And you know, that reminds me how I had a boss who once told me, you know, Paula, I don't care if you get the job done without your feet hitting the floor in the morning. What I care about is the results of your work. And he said this to me very early in my career, and I think really planted the seed for me wanting to create those high performance environments. And which reminds me of another story. Can I tell you?
Yeah, please.
It's very brief.
Yeah, I love it.
I was negotiating an employment contract with someone who said to me, okay, and by the way, I want you in the office 3 days a week. And I said, well, why is that? And he said, well, it's important for you to be seen and to be here. And I said, let me ask you this. If I don't get us to the number, if I don't hit the goals that we've established, but I'm here 3 days a week, do I get points for that? Like, is it going to be okay if I miss the goal, but I'm here 3 days a week? And he said, absolutely not. And I said, so then why do you care?
Yeah.
Why do you care if I'm here? Because at the end of the day, it's about the results, right? Mm. So I share that with you because it's taken me decades. I don't know about you, Shauna, but I had to make a shift in my career from determining my value based on what I was getting done in a day, because I thought it was all about checking off everything on my very long list of to-do items, to making that shift that my value is in the results. Right?
Well, it's so much of the impact that you're making every day. And when that's what drives you, then, you know, I think that way we guarantee that we are going to make some level of impact every day. And it just, but again, I think it's a, I completely relate to that element of like learning that it's not just checking things off a list. It actually makes me think of a story. So when I was working at the Nets in marketing, Nets basketball, my boss at the time was a good friend of mine. He's been on the show, Matt Pizarras, who's now with the Bucks. And I had the like endless list and I was there and it was so late at night. And he was literally like, Shauna, stop. Your list will be here tomorrow. And it was, but it was interesting. I had to have that almost permission to be like, oh, okay. So I closed up my notebook and I like came back to it the next day. But I think it's really important for that you share this and that we're talking about it, especially in this work environment that we're all facing right now, where you do have some companies that are, you know, where people and companies are dealing with the challenge of, are people in the office? Are they not? And then I think that that help that can lead to staff feeling a bit insecure about where their value really is derived from. And so I love that we're talking about this because I think that helps people like they can relate to it. And we try to really provide that kind of conversation here. And I think it also helps give people tools for how to speak and how to kind of handle a certain situation. So thank you so much for bringing that up.
Yeah, you're welcome. I mean, we're all learning how to communicate differently in, you know, what is now very much a virtual world that we're doing a lot of business in. And that means we have to think about how we're spending our time, because for so many of us, we're still working at home and that office door always seems to be open, and it's become even harder, right, to create that division in our life. And so we're leaving the office, but I think a lot of people are working harder than ever, but we're also working more because of the communication. We don't get to walk down the hall anymore and, you know, have that conversation with multiple people. Now we've got to do it over the phone and over, you know, virtually on the computer. So it's such a different environment, and we have to adjust to that to make sure that we continue to work on, you know, the most important things every day.
Yeah, that's really important too, is like that, where you're focusing your energy really is on the most important things, because it's easy to get bogged down in a lot of the other almost like noise of it. And I was actually just ironically this morning talking to my coach, Leslie Harris, who's amazing. I'll have to talk to you about more about him later. But he was talking about this concept of doing more of what serves you and less of what does not. And I think that is also another way for us to think about how we prioritize our time, because then also I think that helps us to operate more, spend more time in the area that we can actually maximize our impact.
So I couldn't agree more. And since you brought up your coach, yeah, I have to talk about mine, Michael Cathcart, because she had me do a really interesting exercise. She asked me this question: if a stranger looked at your calendar for this week, what would they say are your priorities?
Oh, that's a good one.
Right? So I hope your listeners think about this as well. If someone who didn't know you looked at your calendar, what would they say are the most important things to you? And where do they think you're focusing your time? And does that align with your priorities? Mm. So I loved that exercise. And I had a boss, a lot like you did, you know, someone who said, the list is going to be there tomorrow. And the advice that he gave to me, and I'm so excited, he was my boss 20 years ago, and we're actually talking next week, but he had said to me, so Paul, how many meetings do you have on your calendar today? And I would take him through what the week, you know, the day looked like and what the week looked like. And he challenged me to only have 4 meetings on my calendar every day. Mm. And here I am 20 years later, and I now am adopting that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's taken a long time. And I've certainly had periods over the last 20 years where I've tried to put that into practice, but now I'm really doing it. And, you know, I get up every morning and I think about, if I only get 3 things done today, what are those 3 things going to be? I believe in the power of 3. What are my 3 goals for the year? What are my 3 goals for the quarter, for the month, for the week, for the day? Mm-hmm. And I'm always planning and I'm always thinking about that. But when you start every day thinking, if I only get 3 things done today, what will they be? Yeah. That really focuses you on what is most important.
Yeah.
And what's going to be the most impactful.
Right. I love that you shared that. I think like it's so helpful, again, to be sharing some of these tools with the audience and for all of us to have that kind of thing as a North Star can be so helpful. Again, because we're all operating in a space, whether you're in the office or not, or hybrid or whatever, but it's just, there's so much noise. There's so many to-dos. And especially as leaders, we often have so much responsibility and so many people. And I think one of the great things is, I bet, just as you've shared this here, you probably communicate to your staff and your colleagues that this is how you operate. And I think that is also really helpful as well. So people, you know, people can learn how best to work with you. They understand how you prioritize. And I think sometimes we don't, as leaders, sometimes we forget to share. That kind of helps to give people the answers to the test for how to work with us.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And I think, you know, my responsibility as a leader is to make sure the priorities are clear. It's to provide focus. Yeah. And it's also to provide, you know, some guidelines, make sure the expectations are clear, and then just provide help, right? And get out of the way.
It's so true. How many times, I literally say so many times, like, I'm just trying to get like obstacles out of the way for my staff so that they can continue to do what they need to do. let me get rid of the barriers, you know, and to help with that, helping to understand the focus and prioritizing, you know, and I think when we do that as leaders for our staff, I think it can also help us, you know, do that for ourselves.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And, you know, in the world of sales, sales reluctance, call reluctance is a real thing that we all struggle with. And it's hard to come in every day, you know, as your best self, feeling confident and ready to, you know, pick up the phone or send that email or get on that Zoom meeting. And to do that all day, it takes a lot of energy, right? Mm-hmm. And it takes a lot of enthusiasm. And so what I have learned over my career is that all of us have a tendency, we start to feel a bit reluctant. And then we have a tendency to focus on things that make us feel successful, that help us check things off of our list. Mm-hmm. So we feel like I got something accomplished today, it was productive, but often those are things that are not serving you, your goals, that are not propelling you forward.
Yeah.
It's making you feel productive, but it isn't the most important thing. And I think that's something as sales leaders, we always have to be thinking about for ourselves and for our teams, yeah, and recognizing when someone is in that place and then coaching them to move beyond it and to understand that they might, their feelings are justified and they might be in a, you know, in a tough space, but focusing the attention on organizing, you know, your Dropbox folders and call lists and right, those are all important things, but they're not necessary to do the job that's needed.
I'm so glad that you brought this up. So part of my career, I have led sponsorship sales team, brand partnership marketing teams. And that is usually the first Achilles heel. And it's not just for other people, because I do outreach too. So it would be for me too, where that would often be like the first thing to go, is because it's exactly what you talked about. It's that reluctance. It's like that calling. You're like, oh God, I got to pick up the phone today. There's 50,000 reasons you have to delay it a little bit. Oh, I need to organize this. I need to do that. And then, so, you know, I always would build in these things. It was like the first thing you do every day, block out that hour to force yourself to do it. And because it is, it's just so natural that that's the first thing that comes off the list. And yeah, actually, kind of a tangential, but completely related, during my times when I've been, like searching for a job, or when I had been laid off, and you can spend so much time working on your resume, updating your profile, but not applying to the jobs, not calling and networking, all those things. So we're talking about it in the sponsorship sales space, because that's what we're focusing on today. And you're, you know, doing such amazing things in the space, but I think it's a behavior that, as the listeners, if you're not in sponsorship sales or you're not in sales, these are behaviors that you can go, oh, I catch myself doing that when I'm trying to find a job or when I'm trying to do whatever the thing is. And then you actually are just getting in your own way.
Yeah, that's unfortunately, right? It's very true. And sometimes it comes from a place of wanting to be really well prepared. And people who know me know how important this is to me. Like, I don't believe you should ever pick up the phone and make a call until you have written down 5 to 7 things that you know about that company and that person, right? Like, minimal amount of research should be done, and you should be well prepared. And I think sometimes it's hard not to have that, you know, that feeling like, oh, I think I could do more. I think I could be better prepared. I think there's someone else I could reach out to learn more information, right? And it's very it's easy to get caught up in that. And that's when I think you have to really embrace this notion: progress is better than perfection.
Oh, yeah.
Right. I remember early in my career, I was terrified. I was walking into a meeting with Chevrolet. I was pitching a sponsorship. It was one of my first. I was really nervous. I called my boss. I told him, and he said, so Paula, I just want you to remember this. There's nothing you will say that I can't recover.
Oh.
He said, he took all the fear away. He's like, don't worry about it. It's okay if you say something that, you know, perhaps you wish you would have said differently, or just don't worry about it, right? Just lean into it, put yourself out there. And those words 30 years ago resonate with me today, because if you would have told me, Shauna, three years ago, that I would even be doing a video meeting, I would have said, absolutely not. A matter of fact, I think I recall actually saying that to somebody, like, no, I don't want to do the meeting on video. Let's just call while on the speakerphone, right? And those words really resonated with me. Mm-hmm. And over the last couple of years, I know I have grown so much. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, all of us have, right? We're very reflective and insightful, yeah. Reflective on our experience and insightful about what we want in the future. And we're doing things differently. And again, you know, it's, let's just put ourselves out there. Just go for it. Yeah. I have a bias towards action. I believe in taking action. Yes, it's important to be prepared. It's important to understand your goals and what your area of focus is, but just take the action. And, you know, progress is better than perfection. Yeah. And as long as you're taking meaningful action, you're going to make progress. And, yeah. And isn't it, you know, by the way, one more thought, isn't it interesting that this is where our conversation is going? When we, you know, are talking about marketing and sales and sports and sponsorship, we're talking about high performance behaviors because I think we recognize that's the key to success. Yeah. We can teach you all the sales skills you want to know, but it's about your mindset. It's about the action that you take and what you're thinking.
It's so true. And I love when you talk, when you're sharing these things, it's very evident that this is not something that you're just telling other people that they need to do or they should do. This is actually what you practice for yourself as well. So when you're talking about being self-aware, these quotes you have or these sayings, they're actually, you're saying them as much to yourself as you're sharing it with our audience, with your staff. And I think that's so important. Again, that just the concept of evolving self and others and brands is so much that it's a lot of times we're just putting a mirror up in front of ourselves as we're saying it. And so, because, you know, none of us are perfect. And we all, just as you said, we're all learning constantly. And I think that is so much. And I appreciate that in you and I celebrate that in you. And I think that's probably, you know, really helped you be the successful leader that you are. So just wanted to comment on that.
Yeah, thank you. I so much appreciate that. And you're right. I mean, this is not philosophical for me. Mm-hmm. I'm selling every day. Yeah. I am a CEO who is, you know, I'm out there. I'm all about grit and street hustle. That, right? I mean, that's the experience that I'm having right now. And the work that we do, it is so challenging right now.
Yeah.
Decision making is just slower. Yeah. And I think it's because the future is uncertain and people are making decisions about, you know, the quarter rather than the year ahead right now. I mean, that's my experience. I just think it's taking longer for people to make decisions. And part of that might be because the communication flow is just, it's slowing down a little bit.
Yeah.
And just the decision-making process, everything is carefully considered and measured, and what are the expected results of this sponsorship program. And what we're seeing in sponsorship is that companies are, they're spending as much, if not more, but they're doing fewer events. Wow. And that has to do with resources, but it's also how can we take this sponsorship and make it more impactful, broader, deeper? How can we use this sponsorship to support our social impact goals, right? How can we use it to drive sales? How can we use it for PR? How can we improve our customer experience? How can we get our employees involved? So I think that's kind of what's happening in sponsorship right now, is that it's the decision-making process is slower, but I think it's going to serve us all well, because I think part of the reason for that is people are really thinking about how is this going to support our business goals, not just our marketing goals. And that's something I think is really exciting about what's happening in the sponsorship world.
Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that. And it's also making me, as we're talking about the people who are listening and if they're in sales and they're in sponsorship, and I would love for you, as you've talked about this, how, you know, navigating the tumultuous landscape and what you're seeing, some of the trends that you're seeing, like, are there any tips that you can share for people who are in it every day, in addition to the other things that you've shared, but like, there was one thing that you said, you know, in order to, you know, have that grit that you have every day to keep pushing, to wait out that longer time frame, you know, because when you're selling, it's the most important thing to you to sell that property, but the other person has 5,000 things that they have to do. So is there anything that you would share in that capacity for people to remember, keep in mind?
Yeah, well, the conversation I had with myself this morning is, yes, your email is working. Right? I've got a few people that haven't responded to emails I sent last week. And, you know, it reminds me of, you know, when I would sit by the phone waiting for my, you know, my great date to call me back. You know, that's because I have conversations with people and I'm so excited and there's energy behind it and I'm pretty optimistic. So my glass is really full. I hang up the phone and think, oh, okay, this was great. Right. Or after a virtual call and then I don't hear anything. And you know how you used to pick up your phone to make sure that you could hear the dial tone, right? That's what I'm doing. That's what I was doing this morning. My version of that. Yeah. So I think be patient. Maintain your confidence, your enthusiasm. I'm a believer in a power pose, right? So when you start to feel yourself feeling a little deflated, you know, put on your power pose. I don't know that the audience can see this right now, but you know, this is mine.
Yeah.
Right. And sometimes I'm like this and sometimes I'm like this, but until I feel that energy, I don't move forward. Yeah. So I think, you know, it's really important to, yeah, be patient. Remember that everybody has got a lot going on. And this is particularly true, you know, for those who have a full-time job at home and a full-time job in the office. And sometimes home in the office is the exact same space and the same chair, you know. So I think that's really important. And just staying focused. I know we've used that word a lot, but I feel like it's one of the most valuable things, quite honestly, that I do for people who work with me and for our clients is I help get at what is most important to the brands, what is most important to the property, and let's keep taking steps, you know, forward to the center. And I'm sure you know, James Clear, who hasn't talked about Atomic Habits in the last year or two, you know, in that book. But I think it's true that every action you take, James Clear said something like this. I'm paraphrasing, sorry, I'm not going to get this right. But he said something like, every action we take is a vote for the person we wish to become.
Hmm.
Right. So I think the same can be said in terms of our day-to-day, you know, business. Yeah. Every action we take, right, is a step towards accomplishing what we want. Yeah. And it doesn't have to be a big, enormous leap. It just needs to be some action towards, right, that goal and being focused on what that is. So,
Oh, that's great. And I love the way you're talking about how you are focusing with your clients. And so I'd love to do a little bit of a transition here to hear more about, like, first let's help the audience understand, like, what type of companies, like, what clients you have, who are you for and who are you not for from a client perspective?
Yeah, I am absolutely for anyone who wants to buy or sell a sponsorship, anyone who wants to build a meaningful partnership, whether it's with a nonprofit or a sports team or a park and rec, or, you know, the World University Games, which is what we're working on right now. And we're really focused on the World University Games is taking place in Lake Placid in January of 2023. It is the NCAA championship of the world. It's the path to the Olympics for many athletes. And we think it's amazing that it's going to be here in the US and taking place at Olympic venues in a beautiful place like Lake Placid. So we're super excited to be part of that team and helping to identify who are the right partners. Mm-hmm. And the World University Games has an unwavering commitment to operate in the most sustainable way. And they've developed an initiative that we call Save Winter. And they're looking for the partners who are going to help further that initiative and that goal. And that's who they want to align with. So I think it's really a great example of how the key today is to align with partners who share your brand, who share your purpose, your mission, your values, your passion, and do that with the idea in mind that we're here to improve the experience of guests and of athletes. And we're here to make an impact on the environment, on our communities, on other people. And I think, you know, that's really what we love to do. And that's what we're doing for many clients today. We're working with Special Olympics as well. That's just an organization I feel incredibly passionate about, and community festivals and cities. And so really we're for everybody who believes in the power of sponsorship marketing.
Yeah, no, it's so great to hear. And I think like one of the things that I've continued to be so, feel so passionate about partnerships is that what you said, I think that there's that when it's gotten to a place where it really needs to be now integrated, authentic, you know, it's genuine. It is and it's an experience. It's much more rare these days to see what people used to talk about as like the logo slap. There's so much that you can do. And I think also I know I've used the word noise quite a bit in this conversation, but there's just so much noise out there. So I think one of the beauties that I just love about partnerships is it's really bringing together, it's bringing together the similar audience or the audience that you're trying to get to. And you can have a really focused, meaningful, deep touch point with them. And so it's not just like, you know, a 30-second commercial on TV that people are like clicking through or, you know, so, I'm a big fan and I just truly believe in the power of partnership when it's done the right way. So,
yeah. Oh, Shauna, applause. That just, it like makes me smile on the inside hearing you say that and using the word authentic. It's so true. I mean, if you're a company and you're in marketing and you're not spending time and attention and focus and money in sponsorship marketing, you should be asking why not.
Yeah.
Right? Because we all know this about consumers. Our behavior has changed. We care as much about what the company stands for as we do the product and the service that they have.
Yeah.
And as consumers, it's not okay anymore for a company to walk the fence and be politically correct. We want to know what you stand for. We care about that company. And the way to show up as a company in a meaningful way, right, that makes that connection with an audience is through partnerships and through sponsorships. Mm-hmm. And so it's a very effective way of, again, not only marketing your company and driving the business goals that you have, but also furthering social impact goals and employee, right? Recruitment and retention.
Absolutely. And I'm glad you said that about the social impact element, because I think sometimes, so if people are listening and you're like, oh, this is interesting to me, and maybe you represent a brand or you're that isn't quite there yet, like they want to be more, I'll talk about the World University Games because you talked about it being sustainable. They want to be more sustainable, but they're not quite there in the entirety of it, but they're doing the things so that, you know, that there's a thread, there's a fabric of it. So it's genuine. Mm-hmm. But you can also make that type of partnership investment to help. It creates a bit of a halo effect. So it helps you and you benefit from that association that can help create that bridge. So your own brand can then take big, that's like a leap forward in the efforts to be sustainable. So, you're so right about the way that the world has changed so much where the power has really shifted to the consumer, where they're like, I'm not going to buy that unless I know what it stands for. I'm not going to be loyal to your company until I see you doing something in a repeatable fashion that is authentic, genuine, and that's actually cutting through and doing something positive, doing something good.
Right. in the areas that are important to me, that align with my values, right? Yeah.
And there's so many options now. It's so true. It's like, well, what's important to me? Then it'll, you know, I'll choose the brand or the property or the entertainment that suits that. So, so thank you so much for sharing that. And then it's also, you know, we talk so much about what you're doing for brands and your, and the, you know, your, the selling, and, you know, you've done an amazing job speaking to that, but I also want to make sure we talk about this incredible summit that you're creating. So folks, there's a summit, the Sponsorship Mastery Summit that Paula, is bringing forward. It's in September. And I love the fact that it's very much focused on the future of sponsorship and the impact that you're making with it, with the attendees. So I would love for you to share what you're doing with it.
Oh, thank you. This is my lifelong passion project. And that is the Sponsorship Mastery Conference, which we started, by the way, in 2019. Okay. We had our first conference. So this will be our fourth year. The last couple of years, we've done it virtually. It is the only sponsorship marketing conference happening in the U.S. this year. So if you are in sponsorship marketing and you want to be a part of the conversation to shape the future of sponsorship, you need to be there. So you need to join us. It is 2.5 days in Seattle at the luxurious Fairmont. We're going to make sure we have a lot of fun, but that we also connect with each other. We learn from each other. We talk about the future of sponsorship. We have over 30 industry leaders in sponsorship, from, you know, esports and technology and sports teams and music festivals like South by Southwest and Summerfest in Milwaukee, the Minnesota Twins, lots of sports. And so we're providing, right, creating this opportunity where people can network with each other, learn from each other, hear these amazing speakers. And something that makes the Sponsorship Summit really different is that we curate all the content. We work with the speakers to make sure that we're talking about the things that people are telling us they need to hear, or they want to hear. Mm. And so we also make sure that every one of our sessions is really interactive. So that's our goal for ourselves, is that every session is curated, every session has an interactive piece. Also that, you know, we have a lot of fun together. And we're talking about things that are important to the industry, and we're advocating for the future of sponsorship marketing. So nice.
I love that focus on that teaching and mentoring and the experience that you're giving people. And so folks, Paula has been posting a bit on LinkedIn about it. So make sure you follow Paula, check that out.
Do it quickly. We're limiting we're limiting the attendance to 300, and we did that because we're all about the experience, and we wanted the networking and the learning to be very immersive, and it's more impactful if we do that with fewer people. So we limited it to 300 this year. So be sure that you register quickly. Come join us. We'll have fun.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Thank you so much for sharing all that. So I've got one more topic before we send you on your day to continue all you're doing. And then I've got some final questions I want to ask you too. But one more topic that we haven't talked about, but on this, but we talked about it previously, was how much I hear people say, like, there should be more women in sales. We need more women, not only in sales, but more women in leadership. And so there's parts, some days I feel like, oh, we're making strides. But other days I'm like, oh my God, what is it, 1920? Like, it's not. So, you know, you're a perfect example of a female who is, you know, I would imagine have broken barriers. You're succeeding as a woman in sales, a woman in a leadership position. So I would just love for you to share with the audience anything you have to share about your perspective, your experience in that, or any tips perhaps for people who are listening and they want to follow that, you know, one of those paths.
Yeah, thanks, Shauna. I think this is really an important topic. I think it's very important, first of all, for women leaders to lift each other up.
Yeah,
we do need to spend, we need to be in the boardroom. We need to be in the C-suite, and we need to lift each other up, and we need to help each other be successful. We also need to make sure that we are mentoring and supporting women who are new in their careers. And I know both you and I, as you mentioned earlier in the podcast, we are fans of the WISE organization. And I think anyone who has an interest in sports or events and entertainment should definitely be a part of that organization and a part of the mentor program, which I participate in. So I think that's really important. You know, I was one of two women in my position in marketing with in the NFL and back in the 90s. And I don't think that I realized at that time quite how significant that was. Mm. And I also, I had a position as an executive director with a community festival. And I remember there was a paper that did a story on it. And the headline was something like "The Woman Behind the Men." Mm-hmm. Because the board, you know, was all males. And I've had a lot of those kinds of situations throughout the course of my career. And not always the best bosses. And I have to admit that when I was younger, I thought that was part of paying my dues. Mm. I thought taking shit was part of the work that I needed to do to build my career. And I want to share, you know, some advice. And of course, that's not true.
Right.
It just simply is not true, right? You pay your dues by raising your hand. You pay your dues by doing exceptional work. You pay your dues by networking. You pay your dues by doing the job you want, not the job that you have, yeah. Right? That's how,
great points.
Right? That's how we pay our dues. And so I want to share a great piece of advice my father gave me a long time ago. And he just simply said this, Paula, actually he said, "Honey, there's no such thing as a great job with a horseshit boss." Right? Brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. And I love giving that advice, particularly to women,
yeah.
Because I think that when we think about our career, we think about the company, we think about the title, we think about the money, and this pertains to men also, right? Sometimes we're taking jobs for the wrong reason. And so if there was one piece of advice that I would give, it would be this: follow people,
yeah.
follow the leader. Make sure that you're working for somebody who understands that as a woman, you have two full-time jobs. Because women, we do have a tendency to carry the heavy load for our personal lives, for our family lives, and we have a job. And I think it's important to work for someone who understands that. And what that means is that they're going to extend flexibility to you. And if someone isn't willing to do that, if someone doesn't care about who you are, what's important to you, what else you have happening in your life, that's not the place you want to be working. So no. I think follow women leaders, follow the right leaders. And I think that's most important for women in their careers early on and also at a later time. And then at some point, it's really important to make that shift to becoming that leader. And again, I find that often with women, right? We have to say, no, you are a leader. Lean into it. Step up. Yeah. You've got it. Don't second guess your influence and your impact on people.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be on everyone.
Yeah.
Right. It's just, we're all just trying to help a few people,
yeah.
Be more, you know, successful, in their life. So.
Oh, this is so good. I love your father's words. So those were great. And I can't agree more. It's become more and more apparent through my own experiences how important it is to follow a leader that you respect, a leader that is, you know, walking the talk. It's so important. So thank you. Thank you for sharing that. It was so good. All right. So I've got a couple, these are my last things.
Okay, great.
So I've been thinking about this a lot because a dear friend of mine, Pam Harris, who, if you don't know, I need to introduce you to her. She's awesome. We were talking one day and she asked me what my walkout song was. And I was like, oh, and what I said to her was, that Girl's on Fire from Alicia Keys. Because she was saying it because I was interviewing for a job. And she was like, you need to think of that as you're going into whatever. So I was thinking about it the other day and I was like, oh my God, I have to ask Paula, what is your walkout song?
Well, I do have a walkout song and everyone should have one. Come to the summit. You'll hear mine this year. No, I'll give you a sneak peek. So my walkout songs have included Don't Stop Believing, Journey, Lizzo, Good as Hell, right? I'm in case anyone out there is looking for a walk-up song or walk-out song, you can borrow any of mine. Yeah. But this year, undoubtedly, it is John Buteste. Am I saying that correctly?
I don't even know.
Yeah, the song is Freedom. And really, we should all begin every day listening to that song.
Okay. I'm going to have to look it up. I probably know it, but when you said his name, I didn't have it. So
big Grammy winner this year, but this song, I love it. So that's going to be my walk-on song at this year's summit. I was thinking about this. I may just play the whole song and try to get the audience up dancing to it.
Yeah.
Maybe that's how we'll start the summit this year.
I love that. I love that. Oh, those are so good. Thank you so much. And to wrap it up, I would just ask is, you know, for the people who are listening, what is one or two things that you really hope people take away from your episode of this?
Take some small action towards your clear goals every day. And here's what I'll challenge the audience with. Get up 30 minutes early tomorrow morning, grab a cup of coffee or tea, sit somewhere where you're comfortable and it's quiet, and ask yourself this question: how do I want to show up today? Right? How do I want to show up? And then what are the three things that I am going to accomplish today before this day ends? No matter what are the three most important things? Just taking those few minutes every morning to think about what's most important to me. What am I going to accomplish today? Not a long list, just three things. That's going to be hard for a lot of people to do.
Yeah.
And then think about, how do you want to show up today? I wanted to show up today being a source of inspiration. So.
Well, you've knocked it out of the park and I am just so grateful. I've had an absolute wonderful time chatting with you here and I hope the audience really enjoys it. Please, as I said, follow Paula on LinkedIn. When we share this, we will share links to your, to the summit and all of that. So thank you for all you are doing for people and brands and in the world of partnerships. And I'm so glad to walk the journey with you.
Thank you so much. I could have spent the entire day talking with you. I'm just not sure anyone would want to listen all day to you and I, but it sure would be fun for me.
It was a blast. Have an awesome day. All right. Talk to you later. You too.